kuanan. Kuman lang. Si Morgan. Bonjour. How's it been, Mama? Siyabong, siyabong, siyabong. Kala kanjalo kasi nasiyang ngoma, masay changing ngoma. Sa sala na isay ngalago maimabele ni. That is how we start. We start with music because we suck music from the breast of our mothers. We were born with music, and music is part and parcel of the lives we live. And also, I would like to dedicate my presentation today to two different peoples, should I say. Enoch Sontonga. Enoch Sontonga is the man who wrote the national anthem. He said, Nkosi Sikelela iAfrika. He did not say, God bless South Africa. He said, God bless Africa, the continent. God bless Africa, Enoch Sontonga. The more we learn as South Africans that we are connected, we are part and parcel of the African continent, the better. This continent is amazing. This is the land of beginnings. The land of beginnings. The stories that are embedded in the soil, embedded in the minerals under the ground, embedded in the trees that sway in the breeze. It's embedded in the fire that we light, and that fire that warms us when we are cold. That fire that guides us when we are lost. The fire that burns and makes sure that we can cook and eat. The fire that we find a central place in our lives. The fire that should live inside us. Storytellers need to have that fire. Whether we are living in the old times, which we are not, when we sit around the fire and listen to the stories of our grandmothers and grandfathers. Nowadays, we don't have that setting. We're living in different times. But then, it's up to us to take that fire and put it inside ourselves and keep it burning. And when I mention the African continent as the land of beginnings, it's because I want to say every single person who has come here by aeroplane is coming home. This is the land of beginnings. I hear people very often saying they have been beaten by the African bug. I have news for you, it doesn't exist. The African bug doesn't exist. It is your umbilical cord remembering that you are coming home. That's all. It's the umbilical cord. Yes, it's the umbilical cord remembering. When we were born as children and the umbilical cord was separated, and it dried up and the parents took it and they dug a hole in the ground and they put it under a tree. Sometimes they even planted a tree there. Wherever they put it, they wanted you to know that this is the place. In the way up in the Ugole, this is your place of origin. No matter how far you travel, you went to another province, you went to the big cities of Cape Town, Johannesburg, East London, wherever you went, Pretoria, it doesn't matter. You cross the borders, you go to Lusaka, you go to Egypt, you go to the United Kingdom, you go to the United States, it doesn't matter where you end up. Asia, it doesn't matter. You always remember where your umbilical cord is buried. And people ask you where you're from, you can count the different places where you've lived, and finally you say, this is where I come from. So when I stand here, I'm the daughter of Mashiach, Mkhonto Bomvu, Ufudol Father. Yes. As I stand here, I'm the daughter of Mhlophe, Uzindela, Uthubeza Kamyeni, Uphuthaza, abaphuthaza izulu abanye belesaba, Othobeza Ngonyesi, ezabafokaza nezenda ngomnyama. Why do we love our family place names so much? They remind us really whose children we are. We didn't fall from trees. When you do certain things in a way that is displeasing to elders, they look at you and they say, whose child is that? They don't ask what your name is. They say, whose child is that? So when you're doing disgraceful things, you are disgracing your own family. I will remind you of a time when my father, the Mhlophe home now is in Hammersdale, but we come from a place called Ngomankulu. In 1934, that land was bought, I don't know from who, because nobody in our family got the money, but they bought the land. And the Mhlophe people were told, many Mhlophe people living there, they were told, you work for us or you get lost. So my great-grandfather chose to get lost. And so that's how we ended up on the banks of the Ngadodo River. Now there's something very strong about our families. The things they teach you over and over and over again until you can't stand it anymore. I heard it, I got it. They repeat the same thing over and over. You had parents like that. Huh. Yeah. My father repeated the same thing maybe 60 something times a day, a year or something. And he would say, we are saying nothing. Ayikho inkomo yobuthongo. I know, Baba, I know. And then he would say it again and again. Ayikho inkomo yobuthongo. There is no cow you can buy through sleeping. You can never earn anything through sleeping. So I don't know how you say it in your languages, but you can achieve anything with Operation Lie Down. If you have to achieve something, you get up and work hard and do it and do whatever you want to achieve in this world. I didn't get it as a child. I thought my father was getting on my nerves because we heard this thing so many times. And then when I grew up, the penny dropped. Several pennies dropped. Many, many of the things our parents said, they made sense because finally we grew up. The stories that were told, we understood them, we loved them, but we just liked them as stories. Only later did you see the lessons embedded in them. If you had a child like me who asked many, many questions, and you were lucky to have a grandmother like mine, she would say, nothing. In fact, I do have a story about that. And she would sit me down and tell me a story. How lucky is that? Many of those stories have stayed with me all these years. But my mother on the other side, I grew up in my mother's army, you see. It was work, work, work all the time. And if you walk slowly and you were dragging your feet at 2 mil, could you? Mama would stand at the door. And me being super clever in those days, I just lifted up my feet and walked at the same pace. But she was teaching me that when you are given a task, go ahead and perform it to the best of your ability and be done with it and move on to the next one. That's what she was teaching us. And we thought she was just, oppressing us with all that hard work. But nowadays, that because we had those kind of parents, we remember their teachings and we oppress ourselves with hard work. My mother's resting in her grave, smiling away, watching me, working super long hours. But I'm grateful for that upbringing. One of the stories my mother told was of a child who grew up complaining that there was too much work. She had to put cow dung on the floor. She had to fetch water from the river. She had to collect firewood from the forest. She had to do so many things. And she had to do so much. And then at the end of the day, when she finally had something to eat, she was just tired and wanted to run away. But at the end of the day, there was something enticing. She always looked up on the hill. It was a house. Look at that house. It had golden windows. They were so beautiful, those windows. She thought one day she would run away from home. She didn't have to live in this house where it was always work, work, work. She'd run to that house and she'd live a very happy, easy life. Sometimes she told her mother, one day, I ran away, you know, she went there. I'll go to that house with the golden windows. The mother never responded. But one day, she was asked to fetch water from the river in the morning. She went to fetch water from the river. When she got there, dumped that water pot, and she walked up the hill, rushing. Sometimes she fell and bruised her knees. She kept on walking, walking, walking. Finally, when she got to the hill, there was that house. It was big, like she had seen it. There were so many people. They were just rushing this way and that way. They looked like they were playing from afar. But when she got there, they were working. She arrived and greeted them. Sanbona, some woman said, Sanbona, Sanbona, what? Get more firewood and put it in the fire. She rushed and put firewood in the fire. Nobody said thank you. Work, work. People were doing different things. And boys were pushing, driving the goats and the cattle to the grazing fields. Everybody was busy, busy, busy. Finally, the sun was heading home. The shadows were long. Everybody sat down. They just fell wherever they were. And the food was cooked. And it was handed over in big bowls. And people were eating together. And the way they ate, they didn't even seem to taste the food. They looked like they would fall asleep. Right there. They didn't look at each other. Nobody asked her who she was, where she came from, why she was there in the first place. She began to miss her mother. She began to miss the touch when her mother touched her. You know when somebody who loves you touches you. The way your name is safe in their mouth when they say it. But your name is Tobegile. And you've done something right. And mama says, Tobegile, when they come from China. Lerato, can never have a Kos Tangi. Thank you, Babaji. Yaban, and calls. That thank you. She missed all of that from her mother. She remembered that loving face when they sat together at the end of the day, having finished something to eat, and mother would sing old song. Dagana, kilo, kilo, upete ni ngongo. Dagana, kilo, kilo, upete ni ngongo. Dipeta maso sana nami, uwasa bengela futwa. Dipeta maso sana nami, uwasa bengela. Oh, she missed her mother's voice. She stood up and she ran down the hill. She knew where her home was. As she was running, she stopped. Hey, go! And it's me. My home has got golden windows. You know what looked like golden windows there? It was the sun rising, reflecting on the black soot of the windows in that house. You know when there's been lots of smoke on the windows, it's shining black, and then when the sun hits, it's golden. And she turned around and looked at her home down there in the valley. The sun was shining at the windows of her home. They were shining golden. Kwasiya, my own home. She ran down, 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 and when she got home, she rushed into her mother's arms. Her mother picked her up and swung round and round and round. Puma, beside her, Puma. The mother didn't even ask her why she didn't come back with the water in the morning. The mother looked at her and knew that she had learned her lesson. The mother knew, experience, life had taught her child something that she could never do. The stories that our parents taught us, they sometimes come in songs. They sometimes come in certain styles of dance. Sometimes they come in certain ways of dress, the way we dress, traditional attire. Sometimes they come in the way we design our homes. Sometimes they come in the type of food we choose to cook. And that is called traditional food of any culture. You've been to that country called Italy. You know that country. Well, in proper Italy, it's called Italia or Italy. But for me, I call it Italy because you get there, eat and you eat, and then you work a little bit and eat and eat. That country called Italy, they love stories. They love music and opera and all of those things. And different countries and different cultures, they have got their culture embedded in what they do all the time. And I love that. One of the things that I'd like to share with you are quotations from people I've adored over the years. I first became aware of a country called Chile when we were traveling as theater practitioners from the Market Theater, different parts of the world. I found out about a freedom fighter called Victor Jara from Chile. And the sad story of how he was killed by the dictatorship. But also later on, I found a quotation by another poet from Chile, and he says, when the enthusiastic story of our time is told, for those who are yet to be born, but announce themselves with more generous face, will come out ahead, those who suffered most from these times. But that being still ahead, it means much more suffering. But then it is beautiful to see the world with eyes that have not yet been born. And splendid to know yourself victorious when all around you is still so cold and so dark. That's Pablo Neruda from Chile. That's Pablo Neruda. Yes, Pablo Neruda. He is amazing, the type of poetry he writes. I love it up to this day. And then maybe we go to another country. We go to Senegal for that matter. Why not? Birago Diop. Listen more often to things than to human beings. Those who have died are not beneath the ground. They are with us every day. They are in the rustling trees. They are in the moaning trees and the wind blowing. They are in the burning embers. They are in the leaping flame. They are in the child's first cry. Listen more often to things than to human beings. Those who have died have never, never left. They are in the woman's breast. They are in the gurgling waters of the flowing river. They are with us every day. Those who have died are with us in the crowd. All we have to do is take the time to just listen. They are in my heart. They are in your heart. Listen, you'll hear them. They are in my heart. They are in your heart. Listen, you'll hear them. That's Birago Diop from Senegal. Put your hands together.